Hello and welcome to Filling the Sink, a podcast from Catalan News. I'm Lorcan Doherty, and today we're talking about mushrooms. Mushrooms, or bolets as they are known in Catalan, are a really big deal here. Eating them, of course, but more than that, foraging for mushrooms, or mushroom hunting as it's called, is a hugely popular activity. A little later on today's episode of Filling the Sink, we're going to hear from Alan Reith-Terrell, who's been out in the forest on a mushroom hunt, and also from Brian Russell, originally from the US. Brian's lived here for 20 years and goes foraging for mushrooms every autumn. Joining me in the studio are Guifre Jordan and Christina Tomás-White. You're both very welcome.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Guifre, I have to admit, when you first said to me you had the idea of doing a podcast on mushrooms, I wasn't 100% convinced. But after talking to people and looking into it for today, I have to say I completely underestimated just how widespread and popular this tradition of mushroom picking is here in Catalonia. It's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed. I mean, it's a very ingrained tradition in here in Catalonia, very deep in Catalan culture. And I'd say that it's always been popular in rural places, but now it's having a boom in the past few years also because people living in urban places are also going mushroom picking, which has created, yeah, a great surge.
And what does it involve?
Well, basically, typically it is done in autumn, I'd say. It's the season in the year where more mushrooms appear, let's say. And, well, it's all about going to a forest. It's important to know what you're doing in order not to destroy the forest and in order to pick the ones edible, not the ones poisonous.
That's an important point, definitely. Yeah, no, we a health warning here at the top of the program. We don't want anyone to pick mushrooms if they don't know what they're doing. We'll just get that out of the way.
When in doubt, do not eat. Do not eat them when you don't know what they are.
Christina, it's fair to say that it's a really popular pastime here, isn't it?
Yeah, if anyone had any doubts about that, you can find a very comprehensive information on the Catalan government website. They have multiple pages on where to go, where to look out for, what not to eat, and other health and safety recommendations.
And I'd say one of the reasons why there was a boom in the past few years was a very famous primetime TV show in the public broadcaster here called Cazadores de Bolets, Mushroom Hunters in English.
This was a primetime TV show just about going out and collecting mushrooms.
And it was, the audiences were huge. So it was very, very successful.
But at the same time, I mean, they've gotten much more popular, but I'm sure people out in the country are really frustrated to see hordes of people from the city taking over their mushroom territory.
Well, maybe they're kind of happy now that in the middle of this COVID-19 pandemic, the current measures means people in Barcelona aren't able to leave at the weekend. So there's probably a few happy mushroom pickers out in the country right now.
Right. No, because they're very territorial about where they get their mushrooms. And so to see the pichapins from Barcelona, the so-called pine pissers
like city slickers.
Pine pissers, the pichapins, come out and steal their mushrooms is really, really frustrating.
And one of the key things of this topic, Lorcan, is, you know, where to find them. So the people who know where mushrooms are grown, they will never tell you.
There's a lot of secrecy.
Actually, I know some places, and I'm not going to tell you.
All right, okay. You're going to keep that to yourself, Keith?
Forever.
They'll have, like, blogs or Facebook groups where they'll, you know, maybe show pictures of their haul of the mushrooms they've managed to find, but they will not disclose where exactly they found them.
Well, our colleague, full-time journalist and part-time mushroom hunter, Alan Reith-Terrell, has been out in the woods this week. He was out with Aniol. Let's take a listen to how he got on.
I wake up in a small village in El Ripollès, a northern county by the Pyrenees. I'm staying with an old friend, Aniol, who's also a mountain guide and has accepted going mushroom hunting with me on one condition. We don't reveal the name of the town. In part because he doesn't want to contribute to the massification of the forest, but I suspect he also doesn't want people to know his secret spots. We've got the essential equipment, a wicker basket, a penknife, and a Neil's dog, whiskey. We walk by crystal clear creeks, making our way through loads of fallen leaves up to the mountains where pine tree forests provide the perfect undergrowth for mushrooms. Humid, letting in enough sunlight and protecting them from the wind. Soon enough, we find the first one. It's a fredolic, the same word we use in Catalan for someone who feels the cold. Fredolics grow when the temperature drops, says Aniol, thereby indicating that winter is coming and the mushroom season ending. I've actually heard that mushrooms can be found all year round, if you know where to look. But Aniol, just like most Catalans, is most familiar with the ones that grow in autumn months. And since we don't want to risk a stomachache, we'll go with the ones we know best. This time, it's a mushroom I've never seen before, called llengua de bou, literally, bull's tongue. Aniol says it's because of the texture, and I guess that might be the reason, but I'm not sure I would dare checking it out myself with a real bull. But Aniol is taking more than just mushrooms with him. Lost gloves, paper towels. As more and more people go to the forest, the trace they leave behind becomes more visible. Aniol has mixed feelings about it. On the one hand, he's happy that more people get to enjoy nature. After all, that's his job. But he thinks that some people take wildlife for granted. As he likes saying, leave the forest just like you found it, or better, so nobody notices you are even there. On our way back, we meet another couple of mushroom hunters. We tell them not to worry. We've left enough mushrooms for them. Back at home, we clean the mushrooms and Aniol prepares lunch with our cherished prize. The result? Delicious.
Thanks very much to Alan and to Aniol for that. What about mushrooms' place in Catalan cuisine then? How's it normally cooked?
As may not come as a surprise, obviously you have to cook it with a lot of garlic.
Okay.
And olive oil and parsley, but definitely lots of garlic.
And there's so many different types, but you kind of can prepare them all in kind of a similar way?
More or less. Some of them are dried and then you can use them for stews and dishes like this. But yeah, you can eat more or less all of them in similar ways.
What about the names then of mushrooms in Catalan? Alan mentioned a few there earlier on. They're these kind of rich.
It's the whole world. I mean, the most important thing if you want to pick mushrooms is to go with a person who knows how to identify the good ones, that's for sure. And these people usually will tell you the names. And some names are very funny. For instance, one of the most typical ones are camagrox, like yellow-legged. Yeah. Ones, literally in English, or for instance, trompetas de la mort, death trumpets.
Trumpets of death. It's funny because, you know, when I was looking into it, the English language does have quite unusual names for these mushrooms. I think the camagrox are also called yellowfoot and trumpets of death or horns of plenty. But I think the difference is they're not really familiar to English speakers, whereas in Catalonia, people can identify these or at least know the names. They've heard the names.
Everyone
they go to the market. Yeah.
Everyone knows about rovallons, yeah. Fredolics, trompetas de la mort, rossignols.
Rossignols, which is literally nightingales.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
I mean, lovely names.
But people don't even think about the literal translation or the little meaning.
So of course.
We all think about the mushroom.
And what about you two? Have you got any stories about mushroom foraging yourselves?
Well, now we can't go mushroom picking due to the latest COVID-19 restrictions, but recently I went with my father-in-law picking mushrooms, and I'd say that it was a dangerous activity because he really knew where to go, but you had to go off the beaten track and you would end up with cuts, scrapes from thorns, branches, and so on. But in the end, you would find, you know, those rossignols and those rovallons, and the satisfaction after a couple of hours fighting against the bushes is, you can't describe with words. And I must say that after that experience, we found some friends of my father-in-law, and they were very surprised about our 2 kilograms of rovallons. And they asked where we got them, and my father-in-law gave a lot of indications. And afterwards, I told him, why did you say your secret? And he was like, no, I was clearly lying. So it was very far from the place where I indicated. So I was like...
Basically, if anyone tells you where to go, do not trust them.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, now we're going to hear from someone who's not originally from Catalonia, but has been living here for the past 20 years and has been a mushroom hunter for 15 years. I spoke to Brian Russell and I asked him how he got into mushroom picking.
I've always enjoyed picking fruit off trees and, you know, just picking things from nature. I've always enjoyed harvesting. I had a friend who showed me how to mushroom pick when I was staying with her in Sweden, and I found it very fascinating. And so since then, every fall, I've just been, you know, seeing what's on the ground.
I've heard that mushroom hunters, if you want to use that word as well, can be extremely secretive about, you know, the best spots to find mushrooms. Is that something that you've encountered?
There's a story. I haven't actually run across this level of secretism, but there's a story that even parents were so secretive about their mushroom spots that they would only reveal to them to their children in their last will and testament. And while I haven't seen that level of secrecy, yeah, very often if you ask people where they found the mushrooms, they're very reluctant to tell you. And there's this culture of secrecy around it. But there's also a new trend to break with that. And I think that new trend, I'm also part of that. I always tell people where my spots are. And the reason I do that is because I have the feeling that very often when I find mushrooms, I find that there's a lot of rotten mushrooms where I'm finding them. And so I think it's better just to share the love.
Is it a generational thing, or is it like a rural-urban divide, or is it a Catalan thing, or does it just depend?
And all, I mean, almost every place where there's been mushroom pickers, there's been a certain amount of secrecy. And that's it's understandable because it takes so long to find good mushroom spots. And very often, especially depending on certain types of mushrooms, they come back year after year after year. If you tell people where the spots, where the good spots are, I mean, they'll come and they'll take your mushrooms away. But also, I think as you get more experienced in mushroom picking, you realize that there's a lot of different types of mushrooms that you can eat. So a lot of times, you know, I go out where people have already hunted and I find mushrooms that I really enjoy that they don't consider worth picking.
And this year, Brian, have you been able to get out much? Has it been a good season?
A little bit. I mean, I actually live inside of a natural park inside of Barcelona. So even though I'm in the city, I live in Collserola, which is one of the biggest, it's sort of the biggest city parks I've ever seen in the world. It takes 4 hours to walk across. I haven't found any in the park yet because it's just not been cold enough. But I have gone out a few weekends before they shut down during the weekends. I have gone out and gone up to the Pyrenees and found quite a bit. There's lots of rains in the spring. There's lots of rains in the summer. And what I do is I just follow the rains.
So while in the Pyrenees, it's maybe already getting towards the end of the season, closer to Barcelona, there's still a few months to go. Is that right?
Well, you know, it just depends. I mean, there isn't so much a mushroom season as places where you may find mushrooms if it rains. And sometimes it just there's no season at all because it didn't rain.
For someone who's maybe never been out foraging before, what would your advice be to them if they wanted to go and pick mushrooms for the first time?
I mean, clearly, you know, it's famous for being a deadly sport. In order to overcome the fear that's involved, you really should know, you should know the families of poisonous mushrooms. You should know which families are the easy ones to look for. I mean, what I do is every mushroom that I want to pick, I study it in the market. Then I go out when I find something that's similar, I take it home, I look in the book, I compare it. And I also try to find the one that's a lookalike that's poisonous, if there is one. First, before you eat them, know which are the poisonous ones. And if you have doubts, don't get tempted to eat something that you don't know if it's safe, and just buy some mushrooms on your way home from the mushroom hunt at the market and enjoy it that way as well. And you know, just enjoy nature. I mean, that's the main thing, is just to be out there and be fascinated with it all.
Thanks very much to Brian Russell for talking to me. Now, before we wrap up for today, we've already heard lots of lovely, weird and wonderful Catalan names for mushrooms or bolets. But on each podcast, we also like to bring you a new Catalan phrase every week. Our first one was, of course, d'amica mica s'omple la pica, little by little the sink fills up, which is where we got the name for the podcast. And today you've got a phrase for a skifre.
Lorcan, estàs tocat del bolet.
Oh, I'm touching the mushroom. What the... No?
You've been touched by a mushroom. Yeah, perhaps it would be the literal translation.
Okay. Don't you know what it means?
I have absolutely no idea.
Oh, you're crazy. You're crazy. You're mad. But in a nice way. I mean, it's not very offensive.
Okay.
Ate some, you know, magic mushroom or something. So you're a bit crazy.
So what is it again in Catalan?
Estàs tocat del bolet.
Well, that's it for today's episode of Filling the Sink. Thanks very much, Cristina and Gifre, for joining me today. Thanks as well to Alan and to Aniol and to Brian. And of course, thanks to you for listening. You can stay up to date on all the latest news in Catalonia on catalannews.com. And do subscribe to Filling the Sink wherever you normally get your podcasts. Next week's episode is on historical memory, the ongoing question of how to deal with the legacy of the Spanish Civil War and the dictatorship of Franco, which followed. I hope you'll tune in for that. Until then, from me, Lorcan Doherty, and all of us here, keep safe and happy mushroom hunting. Bye for now. Adieu.